You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Which is exactly what I just said. I just realised that. It's been a few weeks since I last spoke with Minister Andrew Little, so there was quite a lot to get through for today's show. This week we're tackling the rather diverse set of topics: hate speech, Brian Tamaki, Pike River, and social media. Have a listen. Good morning. Thanks for calling in, Minister.
That's all right. Yeah, good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks since we last talked. Where have you been? What have you been up to?
Oh, I had a week's leave with family in the United States last week, so went to Washington, D.C. and to New York.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Firstly, today I want to talk again briefly about hate speech. It's come up again in the news. You wrote an opinion piece for the Herald about why you're looking into our laws. Could you tell me what did you write about in that opinion piece?
Well, I was just explaining just what is happening. There's been a bit of a flurry of activity from some quarters thinking that, you know, their right of freedom of expression is somehow going to be unduly curtailed. And I think it was important to explain that actually the focus of what the Ministry of Justice and the Human Rights Commission is doing is very narrow. It deals with an obvious gap in the law. So under the Human Rights Act, if you wander around saying, look, let's kill all the Maoris, that's a criminal offence under our Human Rights Act. If you went around saying, let's kill all the Muslims or let's kill all the Jews, that's not a criminal offence. It's such an obvious kind of lack of equality of approach that inciting disharmony on racial grounds is criminalised, but inciting disharmony on religious grounds, and in fact, just about every other ground too, sexual identity, is not the ultimate sanction is not a criminal offence. So I've asked the Ministry to look at that. That's what that is about. The fear about encroachment on freedom of speech is, look, you should always, everybody should always be vigilant and indeed sceptical when the government is looking at doing things that have the potential to do that. But in the end, you've got to ask yourself, in terms of defending the right of freedom of speech, is there something to defend when it is about dealing with people who want to go around and effectively threaten, marginalise, alienate people who have people with rights to be here and to live their lives as human beings?
Are you going to be criminalising opinion?
No, and it's an odd way to phrase it, but you know, people are free to express their opinions, including hideous opinions and including dumb opinions, and there are plenty of opinions that have the potential to cause offence, and which, you know, some people will not only disagree with, but violently disagree with. That's not the question. The question is whether people use forms of expression that are about promoting and encouraging others to threaten, if you like, or to marginalise others in the community merely on the grounds of characteristics that they have that either they don't have any control over or that they shouldn't need to change, including the choice of religion. So, it's important that we have a good debate about it. And I suppose, look, it's important too that the extremists, including the nutcases, kind of get out on this and they be exposed. But in the end, a decision has to be made about whether the law that we have at the moment, and we do have laws that curtail freedom of expression, we've always had laws that do that, whether they strike the right balance. And that's where the debate should be.
Where's the line, do you think, between simply having hurt feelings and actually hate speech? Because there's been a bit of concern I've seen from people this week that we may not be able to criticise religion at all under new laws.
No. There's a quite different thing about criticising religion, saying these tenets that this particular religion holds to, they are unacceptable, don't like these practices, and you know, religious practices are wider than to debate and discussion and criticism. But it's when you are effectively saying of people who adhere to a particular religion that they are not entitled to, not justified in doing so, or more importantly, should be subject to derision and, in some cases, physical attack for being so, that's where it crosses the line.
Someone this week who's certainly been exercising his right to free speech is Brian Tamaki. Are you at all concerned by his threats on social media to incite prison riots?
Oh, it was a stupid thing to say. I think Brian is, I've met him a few times he's passionate about his cause, but he is prone to hot-headedness. I think what he did was wrong. I think some of his choice of phrases, particularly his criticisms of the Prime Minister, the Minister of Finance and Minister of Corrections, was right out of order and trivialised rape and sexual violations. So he was wrong to do that, in my view. The issue is all about whether or not his organisation attached to the Destiny Church should be given a public sanction and public money to roll out its anti-family violence program. And the Minister of Corrections, who really is, and it's the Corrections that Man Up program has approached, the Minister of Corrections has said he's not going to, that's his decision, and that's it. But I think for Brian Tamaki, if he wants to have that debate, I think there are better ways to conduct that debate.
Yeah, and surely he's shooting himself in the foot, right, by writing all the stuff about the government on social media and then complaining that his program's not being taken seriously.
Yeah, I think the government's got to be bigger than that. We get criticised every day. A lot of it is justified, some of it's not. So people are going to criticise us for all sorts of things, and sometimes there'll be misunderstandings, and as I say, sometimes it will be justified. I think in the end, when you're a minister and you're in the government and you're making decisions, you've got to make it, you've got to focus on what the issue is, what the facts are, and, you know, make a decision that's in the best interests of everybody, and make a decision that actually is about being effective in the particular policy area that you're making the decision about. That's where the debate should be. But in any event, look, it is where it's at. I don't think the name-calling and the theatrical language and somewhat offensive language is helping a sensible debate about how we, as a country, deal with domestic violence.
Many years on, and we're finally almost ready to re-enter Pike River. That's set to get underway tomorrow.
Yeah, look, I'm very pleased to be at this point. It has been a long time, even since we set up the Pike River Recovery Agency. It's, 16 or so months on. It's taken a lot of planning and a lot of work, a lot of expertise has gone into it. And we're now at the point where we're about to break through the 30-metre seal. That's what, you know, we need to get break through that in order to then start the recovery of the drift properly. And the plan is to do that tomorrow. Look, this whole project has had its challenges. It will continue to have its challenges. The nature of a mine like the Pike River mine is that because of the geology and various other natural forces, it's constantly changing, and we're constantly monitoring for varying gas levels and different types of gases as well. So it is constant monitoring, constant vigilance. But with the families and with their determination, hopefully we've matched them, and we will see this project being fulfilled and their, I think, legitimate wishes fulfilled as well.
How did you end up selecting the miners who are actually going to be going back into the mine? That seems like a fairly heroic job they're going to be doing.
There was no shortage of interest when the agency went out recruiting people for the role. These are all experienced miners. They all know the story of Pike River. You know, the mining community, the coal mining community in particular, is very tight-knit. They carry their own kind of legends amongst them. And this is a very important exercise for them as well. So I've met the team a few times. They're totally dedicated. They regard this as, you know, a challenging project, but an honour to be part of. And look, I think we're going to see excellent work by them.
Yeah, I really hope so. I wish you all the best of that. Finally, the Prime Minister is going to be co-chairing a meeting in France in a couple of weeks. What's that going to be all about?
So this is a further part of the aftermath of March the 15th and the mosque attacks. France, actually some countries, quite a few countries have already been doing stuff about violent expression and videos and images online. Well, France has been doing some work on that. And a combination of work that France has been doing and the fact that it's hosting the G7 led to France agreeing to co-host with Jacinda Ardern a session with the top leaders of the world on how we deal with and better regulate what happens online, particularly with the big online providers, Facebook, Google, a variety of them. And so this is what this is about. So to the leaders of the leaders of the biggest countries coming together to talk about what can be done, and in conjunction with those platform owners themselves to regulate the more horrific aspects of stuff that ends up online.
Do we know who's going to be there yet?
I haven't seen a final list, but look, I think pretty much all the big online providers are going to be there, and obviously the country leaders will be there. There'll be a few other country leaders who are not part of the G7 will be there as well. And I think as we head towards the 15th of May, which is when it will be in Paris, the full detailed list will be revealed.
So you think Donald Trump will be there?
Well, he's part of the G7, so at this stage I think all indications are that he will be. Whether he is listening is another thing.
All right, thank you very much as always, Minister.
Cheers, sir.
Cheers, bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.